If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Another thing we've been talking about of late, and it seems like everybody else is finally noticing, maybe because of what Eric Zorn has been writing about in his newsletter that drops on Thursdays, another thing is this story of the UIC professor, a law professor who had on a final exam a question that referenced the B word and the N word. He did not spell them out, but within the context of a scenario that the students would be asked to pass judgment on, he used N dash 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 and B dash dash dash. Students were outraged, they complained, and ultimately he's lost his job. So, Eric, I'm going to put you on first, although Jason Kilbourn is on the phone line too, but as we get ready for this conversation, Eric, where does this conversation go now, Eric?
Well, the first thing I want to correct you, Professor Kilbourn, he'll correct you on this. He didn't lose his job. He was suspended at the university, and he can give you more of the details on that when he comes on. And he's now undergoing some re-education programs, and he's going to be returning to the classroom, I believe, in the fall. But anyway, where it's going from here is that Kilbourn has filed a lawsuit against UIC. And just to put this in the proper timeline, this exam was given back in December of 2020. It was a final exam, Civil Procedure 2, I think, was the course. And it had, as you pointed out, it had these redacted forms of these ethnic slurs and insults. And it was in order to illustrate the severity of the situation and why, you know, in this workplace situation that the students were asked to analyze. And, you know, this is how we refer to these poisonous slurs. We say the N-word, we say the R-word, we say, you know, things like that. That's the way we've been doing this for a long time. And I was caught up short by this story. I know that Professor Kilbourn was caught up short by the reaction that students had just to the mention, the reference to these words. And they said, it caused them palpitations and they could hardly go on and hardly could finish taking the exam. This was so traumatizing for them. And this ended up in an investigation at UIC where they went and listened to recordings of his classes for a year. And it was just sort of this absurd witch hunt that took place over something that you see in the newspaper all the time.
Well, that's my question. So I was just thinking, well, refresh my memory. In the Chicago Sun-Times, Daily Herald, Tribune, what do you all in the print world do when you need to reference these words? You do
exactly. We do exactly this. That's exactly what we do when we feel like we need to specify
That's in the newspaper. I wonder if this, I shouldn't laugh. I mean, this is a serious thing, but I wonder if these students are sufficiently traumatized when they read the newspaper then as well.
Well, and of course, they're going to encounter the actual words when they're in the courtroom litigating cases like this, where it is important for the legal record to show exactly what was said. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And of course, the final twist, the irony of this is that part of Professor Kilbourn's re-education is he's having to read examples and scenarios, and in one of those examples and scenarios they refer to the slur in exactly the same way that he referred to it on the exam.
I wonder if he was sufficiently traumatized then and has to go back and get more re-education of the re-education.
Well, why don't you ask him?
So, Professor, thanks for joining us. You're on WGN Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
What do you want to say, Jason Kilbourn, about the conversation Eric Zorn and I have been having, not just today, but we've talked about this story in the past. I've read his deep dive into the whole issue on his Picayune Sentinel newsletter, but what do you want to say?
Well, everything that Eric has said is exactly accurate, and I commend the Picayune Sentinel to anyone who's interested in really fine reporting. What I think I want to say is a lot of the attention, I'm afraid, has been directed at students and reexamining their behavior here. But from my perspective, it's really not the students who are the problem. They come to the higher education institution looking for guidance from us, from their leaders. And unfortunately, these folks' leaders have completely let them down. As Eric, I think, has suggested before, this entire bizarre and horrific ordeal could and should have been dealt with in a 20-minute conversation among friends where they express how the examination made them feel. I expressed what I was trying to achieve. I expressed my regret if that made someone feel bad in any kind of way. We have a big learning opportunity, and we go away as friends. That was would have been the right way to handle this. Instead, UIC administrators have taken the low road every single opportunity. And it's ironic, you asked where we go from here. The answer, unfortunately, is in the federal court. I teach civil procedure, which is how civil cases like this make their way through the court. And we often like to say a lawsuit is a failure. It is a reflection of a failure to do what parties ought to do, which is talk to each other like human beings, negotiate something out, try to figure out a way to come back together as friends. And that UIC, a public institution, has shown these students the worst possible reaction to this, quite important situation is just such a shame, particularly in this context. And one last point, the further evidence of the incredibly fraught situation at UIC is offered by another lawsuit filed recently against a lawsuit by Chicago Police Lieutenant John Cannon, who has very, very different complaints than I have and faced a very, very different situation. But the core of the problem here, and that is leaders of UIC, administrators at UIC who do not be able, they can't act like adults and show these students leadership. It's just a collapse of leadership.
What sort of relationship did you have with the students in the classroom? Were you surprised that they reacted this way to somebody who had been with them for some time?
Yeah, absolutely. I was surprised. I mean, I just had what I thought was a brilliant semester that semester. I must have had at least a dozen people of color in that classroom, and they were vigorously participating. We had a great exchange about some very, very difficult topics. I key my course to issues involving, quite frequently, racial discrimination. And we had some very, interesting explorations of that in class, and a number of black students had approached me after and said, we really appreciate your, given frankly who you are, surprising sensitivity to these issues.
Meaning a white male?
A white male, frankly, from a very, very small rural area in the middle of Iowa who, I frankly don't have a lot of experience interacting with, those sorts of situations. And so I've had to put in an extra effort to try to be more sensitive to those matters. And I thought I had succeeded before, of course, this entire thing exploded. It's been very disappointing because, someone who could make, frankly, a lot of money as a practicing lawyer goes into teaching because he loves his students. I have loved my students with everything I could give them for 20 years now, and this is how UIC rewards me. It's just an absolute tragedy.
Maybe this isn't a reasonable question, but do you think if you were a person of color and everything else was the same, would the reaction still be the same? That is, are they calling you a racist, or are they just objecting to the words on the page?
It's difficult for me to evaluate that question. I'm not sure. It's not entirely clear to me what the students think I did wrong precisely. It's not entirely clear to me whether if someone else had done that, it would not have been wrong. So I'm not entirely sure. And this goes back to the point that I made a moment ago. I would have welcomed a conversation with students, with administrators, where we all sit around a big table and say, hey, let's clear the air, talk about what happened, think about how we can learn from this and grow together. None of that has happened. No one from UIC in 14 months has made any attempt whatsoever to describe to me what exactly I did wrong and what I might have done differently.
Well, it sure sounds like they've made this more difficult than it has to be. Jason Kilbourn is that suspended University of Illinois Chicago law professor. Eric Zorn is the longtime columnist in Chicago, now publishing his own newsletter called the Picayune Sentinel. But like the teacher who for 41 years taught in high schools in Chicago and lost her job for using one time the N-word, the reporting in the paper today is also that they're not certain that you haven't used other unfortunate references in the past. So is this a one-off, or is there something more to this? WGN, a story we've talked about before. You now read about on the front page of the Chicago Tribune. George Will, the syndicated columnist, is writing about it. And Eric Zorn's spoken about it at length on this show and in his Picayune Sentinel. Eric Zorn's on the phone line along with the suspended UIC law professor, Jason Kilbourn. By the way, guys, Eric, you say suspended. So are you working then as a professor? What's your status at UIC, Jason?
Well, if you ask UIC, they'll, of course, give you the standard lawyer-driven line. That is, well, I haven't been technically suspended, which is, of course, technically true. But by taking away all of my classes at the literally last moment and telling all my students to do something else, they've effectively achieved suspending me for any practical purpose. I am certainly staying busy. I am doing very much as Lincoln did and trying to avoid the emotional turmoil of all of this by throwing myself into my work. I've been very, very productive in another important thing that law professors do, which is writing scholarship. But it has been very, very difficult to concentrate with all of this in the background.
How do you pay your bills?
Well, again, luckily, that's another respect, thank goodness, in which they have not, quote unquote, suspended me in the way in which many people would anticipate. They've kept my full pay and benefits in place, I believe in part because they know full well what they're doing is wrong. What the UIC administration is trying to do, and I understand this, is put down the public firestorm that was created by their very own misleading reporting when students discovered this and started screaming to the world that I had called my students cockroaches and racial slurs. This is a blatant lie. It is a total misunderstanding of what was going on in the class recording. Northwestern law professor Andy Kaufman has listened to that recording and wrote a terrific article in the Chronicle of Higher Education pointing out what I in fact said, which had nothing to do with either my students or even people, and pointing out that this appears to be indeed a witch hunt by my Office for Access and Equity, who totally ran roughshod over the real facts here.
Yeah, if I could jump in here, John, I reviewed the transcript of this alleged cockroach reference, and it's clearly taken way, way out of context to the point that it makes absolutely no sense at all. The case that he was referring to involved a white plaintiff, and it makes no sense. The whole thing is just, it is as Kafkaesque as you can possibly imagine what's going on here. And then Reverend Jesse Jackson gets out and says during a protest that he's called students cockroaches. I mean, it is just beyond belief what's going on there. And I'm really glad Will Lee has a terrific front page story in the Tribune this morning on this. It's getting the coverage it deserves. George Will's column was indignant. George Will was in full George Will mode,
yeah,
writing about this. And so it is getting the national attention. And the professor is exactly right to point out that, I mean, the students, yeah, okay, they're in this activist mode and they're on a hair trigger thing. But it's up to the administrators to say, okay, wait a minute, let's talk this through. Let's have a little understanding. Let's agree. Okay, from now on, we won't make this reference in an exam, but let's realize that there's nothing in Jason Kilbourn's record. He administered this same question on exams for 10 years going back, okay, without a problem. So how come he was supposed to know in December of 2020 that all of a sudden he was going to get into this world of hurt for administering the same question, the same sensitively worded question?
Well, it wasn't 2022 back then. Jason, is that true? Did you use that reference, or have you asked a similar sort of question in exams in the past?
Yes, and I pointed this out to my Office for Access and Equity immediately when they brought this to my attention. So ordinarily, I would have posed the question in a multiple choice format. And as anybody who's ever taught school and used examination formats like that would attest, it's very difficult to come up with good multiple choice questions. So I reused it over and over about a dozen times over 10 years to classes that were every bit as full with black and other non-white students as this one was, and literally no suggestion of any kind at all that this was a problem. And then once again, this article that UIC assigned me for my rehabilitation, allegedly, written 2 years before I administered my exam, contains the exact same expurgated reference to the N-word that I used, and yet, as Eric said, I was somehow supposed to realize in December 2020 that I had, you know, crossed some Rubicon and was going to have the entire Roman army bearing down on me for the next 14 months.
Can either of you repeat to me the question? I presume we can say it on the radio. What exactly did you ask the kids that caused them such...
I can summarize it in a way that will be more intelligible to lay people. The question itself is very complicated, but the gist of the matter was a woman had been fired, and she thought that it might be because of her race and gender. And so she was looking for evidence of this, and a brilliant and explosive piece of evidence that she might indeed have been fired on the basis of her race and gender was that someone had discovered, a former manager of this same company, who herself had quit after hearing other people referring to this potential plaintiff that I've just described as a, quote, N space B space. And then to prevent clever law students from wiggling out of the question, I made it entirely clear what those spaces stood for. I said in parentheses, profane expressions for African-Americans and women, close quote. That's what I wrote. And in response to seeing N space on my exam, apparently some student or students had a negative reaction. I'm not entirely sure that that's even true, because I to this day have no idea whatsoever who brought this up to whom and in what context.
You don't know
I have
how many
no
students,
idea who these complainants are.
Some of the reactions
no
we've
idea.
Read were sounded like from multiple students. How many students were
it
in
sure
the
did.
How many students were in the class?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good-sized class, probably 40 or 50 people. There were definitely, you know, at least a dozen people of color in the class. I mean, any one of whom could, I guess, have expressed this. Though there were a couple of people of color, black women in particular, who came to me afterward and said, you know, this is totally being blown out of proportion. This is not you at all. I don't understand what this is about. So it clearly wasn't they who had this negative reaction. I don't know what happened. But again, I really do want to try to stay away from recriminating the students. They look to us for leadership in how to handle these situations. And the leadership they were given, unfortunately, was just horrific.
So, fellas, what happens next? You filed a suit against the school, and you want your teaching credentials back? You want to have classes back again? Is that it?
Well, so I hope that if I follow this mandated training that they've assigned me, I will be, you know, allowed back into the classroom in this coming fall, 2022, one way or the other. My lawsuit is really not about me so much as it is about the thousands of other professors and indeed students in the University of Illinois system. We all have a right in an institution of higher education to have open and candid conversations about difficult topics that often make people uncomfortable. UIC administration, particularly our Office for Access and Equity, has no business injecting itself into that intimate conversation of ours and declaring that not only certain words are off limits, but even an expurgated, abbreviated reference to some word might be off limits. Right? We just can't have that. And so, since my administration was utterly unwilling to have any conversation about this, I had no choice but to bring a lawsuit in federal court. And frankly, now I'm going to be filing an amended complaint, probably today, going beyond that and saying, you know, this was totally not about me to begin with, but I've really begun to experience some fairly serious health problems, and it's clearly a result of all of this. So I'm adding counts for defamation, false light, intentional infliction of emotional distress. These people have caused me untold emotional and physical harm, and I'm going to see if a court can make them pay for it. I mean, it's just absolutely unacceptable what these people are doing.
I got about a minute left, guys. Eric, what else should I be asking our guest here?
Well, I think we've summed up the case really well, and I like the points that he's making at the end here, which is that this really is, at the end, it's about these administrators. It's about the failure of leaders at these schools. It's about the failure of the leaders at Mother Macaulay High School to take a reasonable and conciliatory approach to these kinds of things. That, okay, let's say that it's no longer acceptable to use an expression like the N-word on an exam. I'm sure that Professor Kilborn could agree to that going forward. He goes, okay, well, fine. I'll work my way around this. Now that I know, I didn't. And he said his apology, and I printed his entire apology to the students, was saying like, hey, you know, I really didn't mean to hurt anybody. And I think we need to have conversations and not recriminations. And that's what this is really all about in the end. And I'm going to continue to follow this story in the Picayune Sentinel. I hope that other media continues to pick it up as well, because it's an important issue going forward.
The context is so specific. I'm flabbergasted that it's happened at all and that we are where we are today on this. And yet when you look to our east and west in Iowa and Indiana, there are bills. In fact, in Indiana, a watered-down version of them are going forward that'll give other people, parents say, the right to look in on the classroom and attempt to micromanage the words and phrases and concepts that are being taught. So perhaps you aren't a one-off here, but maybe just the tip of an ever-growing iceberg. And with that, we're going to have to end this conversation. Eric, thanks for coming on. And Jason Kilborn, we wish you good health, and I wish you good luck. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, John. Talk to you soon.